welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. This is a plea for those souls that are not yet in Christ. We're persuaded that it is logical and reasonable to decide to be a Christian. When God made man, he made him a free moral agent, capable of making choices and decisions. And alongside this power is the necessity of making correct decisions. Making decisions is a very personal and individual matter. There are many things that we must decide and can decide for ourselves, one by one. And this attribute of mankind can be his glory, or it can be his undoing, depending upon the decisions that he makes. All who travel life's highway know that there are times when we are at a crossroads, so to speak, and must decide which direction our lives will take. We reach the forks of the road. Many decisions in life are relatively trivial and insignificant. If we make the wrong choice in such matters, it can be easily rectified and no harm is really done. But other decisions are far more important because they affect not only the present, but also the future, even eternity. Some decisions, if made incorrectly, cannot be so easily corrected, if at all. We can spend a lifetime reaping results of wrong decisions. Decisions that have a deep and lasting and even eternal effect must be carefully and intelligently made. Friend, there is no decision more important than the one we make regarding Jesus Christ, whether we realize that just now or not. Our decision affects every area of our existence. What will you do with Jesus? On this decision hinges your path in this life, your moral guide, your ambitions, your manner of living, your influence on others, your associates, your eternal destiny. This is a decision that cannot be evaded nor avoided. It is a matter that must be resolved one way or the other. Now, many decisions can be postponed without any effect that is too serious. But postponement in the matter of Christ is equal to rejection of him. Christianity allows for no middle ground. Attempts at neutrality are futile. We either decide for him or we decide against him. In the Old Testament, when Elijah came before Israel at Mount Carmel, Israel was wallowing in the state of indecision. In 1 Kings 18 and verse 21, he asked, "How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him." Israel was lame and weak and condemned and rejected because they would not decide for God. Years earlier, Joshua had also confronted the people when he said, recorded in Joshua 24, "Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Moses called to Israel to make decisions. In Deuteronomy 30 and verse 19, "I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live." Friend, only the right decision would preserve the people. Jesus said, Matthew 6:24, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." In Matthew 12 and verse 30, our Lord said, "He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad." Yes, we would insist that these passages and these words of Christ demand that we decide for Christ. Once sufficient knowledge of Jesus is known, refusal to obey is nothing less than rebellion against the authority of God. God does not expect or even want decisions based on ignorance. Before one can come to Christ, certain knowledge is necessary. One must know that God exists, that Christ is God's Son, that he is lost in sin, that he cannot save himself, that Christ is the only Savior, and that he must come to Christ, his way, in order to be saved or otherwise remain lost and damned. That way demands faith in Christ, repentance of sins, confession of Christ, and baptism into Christ for the remission of sins. God, through the Apostle Paul, declares, "Now is the day of salvation." And once a person has this knowledge, to refuse to submit to the will of God is to bring upon oneself his own condemnation, because he remains in his sins. And every moment one remains out of Christ, he remains in the spiritual kingdom of Satan. There are only two spiritual kingdoms, God's and Satan's. Those in God's kingdom have left the darkness of sin and entered into the kingdom of light. Colossians 1 and verse 13. God only expects us to be reasonable. It is only logical and reasonable and sensible for a person to surrender his will and his life to the Son of God. After all, we owe our very existence to God. Is it not reasonable to serve our Creator? The creature is expected to worship the Creator. We know that life is brief and someday we shall die. Then stand before God in judgment. Hebrews 9:27. Is it not reasonable to be prepared to meet God? The only way to make preparation is to come to Christ, Acts 4:12, since he is the only way of salvation. What if there is no hereafter? What is a person lost by coming to Christ in that event? He would have lived his life the very best possible way by imitating Christ. But since we can know there is a life after this one, what is one lost if he does not come to Christ? Why, he's lost everything. Coming to Christ and deciding for him is a matter where we have everything to gain and nothing to lose. To refuse to decide for him, we have everything to lose and nothing to gain. Indecision is an attempt at futility. It's dangerous at best. Every time, every day that you do not decide for Christ, you give Satan additional opportunities to captivate your soul forever. Every time the appeal of love of the Lord strikes your heart and fails to penetrate, only makes it hardened and easier to continue to refuse him. And this can happen until even the truth and the love of God will have no influence on you. Every delay is a vicious gamble of your soul and eternity. Only Satan tells you that you have plenty of time yet to come to Christ. In a very brief moment, your time, your life, your opportunity for salvation can be snatched from you forever. Like in the days of Noah, God's Spirit will not always strive with you, and he now does call you through the gospel message. 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 14. You could yield to the Lord's Son and no longer risk your soul. We also suggest another reason you should decide for Christ. There is just too much involved for your indecision to be justified. This is not the trivial decision of life. It involves your present life and how you shall live it. It involves your influence, even upon those who are closest to you. It involves your talents and your abilities and how they shall be put to use. It involves the destiny of your soul. Fathers and mothers are usually held in such high esteem by their children, and yet many parents are influencing their young to follow them into the jaws of an open hell. And on the other hand, parents could be creating a favorable atmosphere and lending encouragement to their precious young to live their lives righteously and in the service to God that leads them to the heavenly home. It is worth considering be a Christian because of the impact it can make upon those around you. In Matthew chapter 7, Jesus describes two men who built houses, one on the sand, the other on the rock. The one built on sand was by the foolish man who heard the word, but he did not heed it. The wise man built his house upon the rock, and he is like the one who heard and heeded the word of God. Which of these two characterizes you, dear listening friend? Yes, we plead tenderly and urgently. Decide for Christ. This has been A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.